Eddie Montague joins us. Let's give him a rousing,
you know what to do.
That's right. Former National League umpire. I enjoyed talking with him yesterday. Ron Wotus talked about you today, and so did we both did. About a ball getting lodged.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't clear on the rule, and we sort of talked about it, and I said, well, you said that with replay now, once you determine the ball is lodged, it is a dead ball. Whether the player pulls it out, raises his hands, does a somersault, whatever he does, in replay, if you see it's a lodged ball,
They'll change it. Well, you know what? And the thing is, a player should keep playing it. Just continue to play the ball, and they'll figure it out in replay. Because a lot of times, you know, we can't tell. They throw up their hands like in Wrigley. If I'm going to go out and look in the ivy and I see a ball laying there, it's in play. But replay.
Have you had that?
Yeah, I've had that before. I can't remember. But I know in that ivy we've had balls stuck in there. And there's probably a lot of things in that ivy. But a player should continue to play the ball, and if it's lodged, replay can pull it up, and then they'll go back and kill it and put the runners where they belong.
Well, that's a good part of replay, then. That's a good part, because let's face it, you know, that's one you can't tell.
Yeah.
So if you know, but if you see it on the replay, then that's it.
Yeah, that's tough. So
otherwise, you had to go. As you said, go out there, see if the ball really was lodged or whether the player threw his hands up and all that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of decisions that have to be made in that one.
Yeah. Well, hey, I was going to say, so my older son, Eddie, played for the Pensacola Pelicans.
Nice.
And also, he played for Terry Kennedy, and Ricky Henderson was on that team.
Right.
The San Diego Surf Dogs.
All right.
Yeah, so those are two good names.
Now, Pensacola.
There you go.
Pensacola.
Go ahead, Marty.
Used to be named the Pensacola Flyers.
Flyers.
Because they had an air base.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's still there. They trained there? Actually, the Blue Angels trained
there. Yeah, the Pensacola Flyers.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
I looked up a list of these weird minor league teams. I'm a Montgomery Biscuit fan. They produced David Price, etc. And I came across the Traverse City Beach Bums. Now, this is a team in Michigan called the Beach Bums.
That's good.
Yeah, it's by Lake Michigan.
Some good ones,
Chattanooga Lookouts.
It's a great one.
They're still the Chattanooga.
They're still,
And you know something, and I was going to talk to John Miller about it today, some of the history of the Minnesota Twins. They were the former Washington Senators. You know, the old Washington Senators. Their farm team was the Chattanooga Lookouts.
Yeah.
And this must go back 100 years.
Yeah. And let's not forget the San Francisco Seals.
Right.
Yeah.
Really?
Right.
That's right. Very good. Or in the Nashville. How about the Sacramento Solons?
Solons. And I was in the Coast League and worked the Sacramento Solons.
Did you really?
Yeah. They played at that old football stadium up there where it was like 200.
Gorman Thomas had like 80 home runs.
Yeah,
didn't he?
I worked that year. And it was like 200 feet down the left field line, but the fence was like 70 feet high. Yeah. And I remember Rick Renick, who later played for the Twins, I remember him hitting a ball off the left field wall, and I was working second and first with three men. They threw to second, got the guy at second, and almost doubled Renick up at first base. He wasn't real quick.
Minnesota Twins.
The Minnesota Twins.
Rick Renick. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
Hey, we had Joe Cox on this book, Almost Perfect. We talked about Bruce Fleming, who you know very well.
One of my best friends.
Milt Pappas argued to the day he died that Fleming should have rung it up, 13-0 September game. He brought up the Don Larson game with Babe Pinelli. Ball almost hit Dale Mitchell in the chin. And they called it strike three, and Pinelli walked off. That was the last game he ever did. But Fleming and Pappas had the little feud going for 45 years. Almost.
Yeah, forever. It just, you know, I mean, and Bruce, it's like you call him like you see him. I mean, that's it. You're not going to, because a guy's got a perfect game, I'm not going to give him a foot off the plate or 6 inches off the plate. I'm going to try to stay consistent with what I have. The funny thing about that story was after that game, the writers came in to Bruce, you know, and they said, you know, and pitch and stuff. Bruce says it was outside. And the writer said, well, you know, you call that pitch a strike, you'd have been famous. And Bruce says, really? He says, well, who was the last umpire to work a perfect game? The writer said, I don't know. Bruce says, that's about how famous I'd have been.
That's pretty good.
Very good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, he said, and the funny thing about that story, over the years, at certain times, Pappas agreed, then he didn't agree. the catcher agreed, and he didn't agree.
Yeah.
But Fleming never wavered.
Never wavered. It doesn't matter if who catcher or pitcher agree. It's the umpires making that final decision.
Yeah.
And I wonder, you know, it's funny today with we have the ZE system and the Quest-Tec and all that. With the, I'd like to see those pitches on that. I just like to look at that game. And just see those pitches.
Yeah. How about Jim Joyce? He would like replay, wouldn't he?
Yeah. You know, replay came right after that.
That's why it happened. Almost.
And yeah, and it was. That's what replays meant for stuff like that. And Don Dinkinger in the World Series. I mean, you know, we wish we could have changed some of those things.
Well, you know something. My feeling was that Selig should have changed it. Who cares? I mean, the game was over.
Yeah.
It was a perfect game. And who's going to? What, are they going to sue Selig?
Well,
are they going to do something here?
Well, the
all
only
he's got to do is say, "Hey, Jim Joyce missed it. I'm going to reverse that call. That is a perfect game. Thank you very much." Who's going to complain?
Well, to Bud's credit, you can't set a precedent with one play. You'd have to then he'd have to keep doing it different play. But that's what we have replay
that's
now
it.
For.
You review it and say, "No, I'm not going to do that now."
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing: if Judge Landis was the commissioner, he would have turned it around, and he couldn't care what you said after that. And that's the way he was. He was a tyrant.
Yeah.
But that's the way he was.
But yeah.
Well, we have replay unless it's in Chicago and a home run goes into the basket, which was a weird play a couple of weeks ago. Remember that, Marty?
Yeah.
They tried to go to the phone, and the phone, oddly, didn't work for just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, that was kind of strange. It's usually the baskets, I mean, before, I remember because I've gone out, you know, a lot of times I'd go out to the different ballparks and I'd reach over to see if I can reach. We had a play in Anaheim where a kid reached over. They said, Socha said he reached over.
Okay.
And I went up with Bill Miller after the game, and we both reached, you know, tried to reach over. And we couldn't have interfered with that ball. So, you know, our decision was this kid couldn't interfere with
it.
I didn't change it anyway. But, I know in the baskets, we'd reach out, and, I mean, unless they shortened those baskets up. But it did look like he was over the basket.
Do you like the basket at Wrigley? Do you think it enhances the game or it kind of takes away? Or
no, I like it because it keeps those fans from interfering. It's like you got
makes your job easier.
Right here at this ballpark, it's very easy for them to reach over out in left field. And, well, out in right center field also.
Yeah. Right.
They can reach over. I know we had the one with Barry Bonds when he broke the record, and it was close to a fan reaching over on that right center field wall. And I remember telling Barry, you know, I was thinking fan interference. He says, "You grew up here. You couldn't call that.
Well,
they know
see,
where you live."
That's what they should have said to Bruce Fleming.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're around today, Jeremy Affield has his Generation Alive fundraiser after the game up at 21st Amendment right up here on 3rd Street. Just a couple of blocks up. You ought to walk up. We're going to do the post-game show from there. It'd be fun to talk with you a little bit more about some
Will I get
stuff.
Booed?
I'll guarantee
you. Will he get booed?
The players will be there. They'll boo you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Come up there after the game.
You know what? I could toss a couple of those guys out of the
bar.
Would
you please?
You
may have to toss me out of there. All right, let's hear for Eddie Monahan.
Nice work.
All right, guys.
I love it.
We love you. All right, time now for today's Minor League Update, sponsored by BCCI Construction, where the thinking's built in. Visit them today at BCCIConstruction.com today. Brian Reynolds, San Jose Giants, 3-0-3, ended a 17-game hitting streak last night. First game without a hit since May 19th. He was a first-round pick last year.
Okay.
We've got Heath Quinn, 5-game hitting streak, 9-for-19. I like this kid. I just like everything I've read about him. I've never seen him play, but everything they tell me about him is that he can play. Andrew Suarez, Pat.
Right.
Number 2 pick out of University of Miami a couple of years ago. 67 innings pitched in 11 games. He's got a 2.96 ERA at Richmond, and he pitched a nice game last night as well. Our guy Miguel Gomez, who we talk about every game, 324 this week. He's always hitting 318, 330, 320. He's still at 324 at Richmond. At Sacramento, Arroyo's back. Since he's been back, he's 5-for-14 with a homer. Tyler Beede, 58 innings pitched now. Last start, he went 7 innings with 3 home runs in Albuquerque. As Austin Slater told me, the ball flies out of there. Chris Shaw, 254. Homer, 8 RBIs. He's only been in 16 games at Sacramento. It's going to take longer for him. Kyle Crick, last 10, 11 and a third innings pitched, 3 runs for him. And for Mac Williamson, he's on a 6-game hitting streak, which is pretty good for him. And Ryder Jones, a 5-game hitting streak. So these are names that we will hear by the end of the summer. We're going to take a very quick break, come back, and get you a winner. But first, we're going to do a very short Bill King tribute when we come back.
Good.
And then we'll get our winner for Hawaiian Airlines. More coming up in the Sports Leader.